Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Megan Buchanan, my friend Megan Buchanan, and she's here to talk about her organization, Grit. So before we get started talking about Grit, for people who might not have listened to my other podcast, Megan is training to climb Mount Everest, and, you know, that'll be an ongoing discussion. But, Megan, tell us about Grit and why you created it.
Yeah, good morning. You know, Grit, to me, just came about from a lifetime of, just from life and, you know, really recognizing the struggles we all and challenges that we all have. And some really, really poignant ones for me. I think we've talked about it before, you know, finding out as a little kid that I'm dyslexic, and I come from a really cerebral family. And, you know, my dad was a Rhodes Scholar to MIT. And so for my family, it was really like, wow, you know, they were told that I wouldn't achieve much scholastically. And my parents, just from the get-go, sat me down, you know, I was in second grade, and said, sweetie, like, you can do anything you want to do. You're just going to have to work harder than everybody else. And that's sort of, I guess, the base of it. And through my life and becoming an engineer as a female, and the adversity and challenges there. And then really it was my snowboarding accident in my 30s, where I severely destroyed my femur, broke it, and I was told I'd pretty much have a cane or a wheelchair the rest of my life. And I was such an active outdoors person. And at that point, I just decided, no, I'm taking on this challenge. I'm going to overcome this. And after a year and a half, 2 years, it took me of just this resilience and this tenacity that I was going to fix my leg. And it turns out I had a titanium allergy, and which we didn't know about. We finally had the rod removed. But after that, I promised myself, I'm going to go do Everest Base Camp again. And then I went and climbed Kilimanjaro again. And what I learned in those moments was I was so much stronger, not just physically, but mentally. I was so much stronger than the first time I had climbed Kilimanjaro. And it clicked for me that was because of everything I had gone through. And to me, you know, grit is forged in the fire of struggle, and it makes you a stronger mental person to be able to, the next time a challenge comes around, to recognize it as just that, a new challenge, and that you will overcome it. And the word grit for me, I was doing this exercise, I think, towards getting my master's, and I asked friends of mine, sent out an email, hey, you know, send back, what's one word to you that describes me? And I actually had several people write back and say grit. And I was like, huh, okay. So I created an acronym. Of course, like when you want to buy a website, regular just grit's taken. But I really started thinking about what are the attributes that are grit to me. What are the attributes and the tools anybody can use to start applying to their life today and really start making it a practice to overcome challenges, accept challenges, start looking for challenges? And that is grit. And it's gratitude, growth, resilience, integrity, and tenacity. And those, and of course, I worked on this acronym for quite a while, and I took some stuff out, put stuff in, but to me, that is it. And the more that I really have started, I guess, studying this or talking to groups about this, it really does apply to any situation or any challenge, whether it's a learning disability, it's an injury. I've talked to several groups over this pandemic, companies, mm-hmm. on how to make it through long duration challenge with positivity and purpose. And I was able to use that acronym GRIT for anything. It really, really applies. And those are the tools that I try to teach people.
So when did you create this organization?
Well, it's I guess it's, at this point it's more of a methodology, but I think I really started talking about it probably before I did Denali. I'd done outreaches to kids in schools a lot, and then I started talking to women's groups also about kind of knowing your worth and applying grit there. So it probably started about 2.5 years ago is when I really came up with the acronym. And now what I found just across the board, how it really applies to, again, just any challenge and how to remain, you know, positive and I guess really embrace any challenge in life and find it as an opportunity to become a stronger, more fulfilled person. So you know, the base of it all, the base of the mountain of grit, is gratitude. And to me, especially during this really, really difficult year of 2020, for so many people, I think this really applies, no matter what you're facing. If you can find gratitude in what you have right now, or what you're feeling, or anything in that very moment, that is the base of all of it, and turning everything around into finding the positive. And sometimes that's really hard to find that first step. And a lot of times I'll tell people who are really struggling, every morning when you wake up before you get out of bed, I want you to think and say out loud one thing you're grateful for. And it could be, I'm grateful I woke up today. It can be so simple. But if you start that practice, I think that's something that really can start you on your way. It's also, you know, separating out what you can and cannot control. And when you listen, I listen to a lot of people also who've done the Seven Summits, or athletes or public speakers, and a lot of people talk about gratitude. And there's a reason why. It being able to separate what you can and cannot control and be you know, have gratitude for what you can control. That will really help you get your arms around a situation that you're going through. The stuff that you cannot control, you've got to learn to stop wasting calories dwelling on it or thinking about it or spending your energy on it. Spend your energy on what you can control. So on a mountain, for example, I cannot control what the weather is doing. So to sit there in my tent and you know, just spend my energy fretting about it is not going to help me. What I can control is making sure that I'm taking care of myself. I'm wearing the right layers to keep moving forward, or to stay in my tent, whatever the appropriate thing is. I can control those things. So spend your energy on that and be grateful that I have a tent around me. Be grateful I have a negative 40 bag. So just sort of like, you know, just as an example there, just finding gratitude daily helps you sustain any challenge and hardship and remain positive about it, which is really kind of the base of having grit.
You know, in the time we're in, we're just a few days away from a change in administration. We have had many people who are sick, who have long-lasting effects of their illness. We have people who died, unfortunately, very unfortunate. How do you remain, you know, with a feeling of gratitude when there's so much illness and negativity and death around you?
I think that's a really good question in that. So I've said this before, and I completely stole this from a woman that I work with. She had said it to me when I was about to talk to Raytheon about this in July, how to remain positive. And she had a great analogy. She said, we are all weathering the same storm right now, but we have very different boats. Some people are in the 2020 storm in a luxury yacht. Some people barely have a plank to hold on to. And so, yeah, how do some people remain grateful when they barely have a plank to hold on to. First of all, and I started this out when I talked to Raytheon, I said, if you're listening to this webcast right now, you have a job. That's number one you should be grateful for right now. So especially the people who do have a roof over their head, do still have their health, do have a job. They definitely, it should be easy for them to find the things to be grateful for. The people who have lost loved ones, who they are suffering horribly from the effects of COVID, who have lost their jobs, that is a harder case. And that is where you need to start with just one step at a time. And it is something, it's a daily practice you can choose to do. You can choose to own the situation you are in and just say one thing a morning you are grateful for. Today I am grateful that I woke up, or today I am grateful that, you know, I've got two kids and they are still healthy. Today I am grateful that, you know, I am allowed to, stay in my home one more month, whatever it is. And it is hard. It is not easy sometimes, but you've got to start somewhere. When you're at the bottom of the hill looking, you know, in Lukla, and you're about to start your trek to Everest that you're not going to summit for almost 2 months, to say right there, okay, I'm climbing Everest, you've got to start with just one step. You're not going to hit the summit in the beginning. So yeah, I'm not saying it's easy, but you've got to find one little nook or cranny that you can be grateful for and hold on to that and start that daily practice. And then it kind of changes, I think, your chemistry and your mindset to where maybe in a couple weeks, you've got two things you can find to be grateful for. But sometimes that's what you've got to, that's all you've got to hold on to until you get through that storm.
Well, you've been through a horrific storm by breaking your leg like you did. So when you had, first of all, how did you break your leg? How did you break your femur?
So it was me just having my best snowboarding life ever. It was me and a group of friends, back bowls of Vail. And it was a gorgeous like powder day. It was a Super Bowl Sunday. And there were four of us, two of us riding, two skiing. And I was behind a good girlfriend of mine who was ex-US ski team. So we were going very fast. And we went a cut through a tree line in a back bowl. And I saw this big pile of snow, and I swooshed in it and going really fast, riding low. And what I did not know is there was a down tree under that pile of snow.
Oh.
I hit it dead on my hip at about 25, 30 miles an hour. And it threw me back. And what it had done is it broke the head off of my femur, like clean through, decapitated my femur. The bone shot up the side, it spiral fractured down, muscles ripped off, and it was not good. I could not move. In fact, I couldn't even get my head up. I was so nauseous. And so it was, ski patrol couldn't find us. It was an hour before ski patrol even got to me. It was a gnarly, gnarly rescue. So much pain. I actually begged the ski patrolman Bryce to punch me out. It's like, I can't do that. And so it was, rescue on the sled. The ambulance actually it came up the catwalks up the front side as far as it could go, rushed me into surgery. And I woke up to a 14-inch titanium rod, in my leg. And them telling me again, you're lucky to be alive. You're going to, you're probably going to have a cane or wheelchair the rest of your life. And I remember thinking, and at that very moment, I'm so grateful to be alive, because I was bleeding internally. And I actually ended up in the hospital for a good week or more for my blood to be able to build back. I had lost so much blood internally. And so I do remember feeling so grateful from the beginning to be alive. But then it started a journey of extreme pain. What we did not know is that I was allergic to the titanium rod in my leg. And so I went through a year and a half of extreme pain, 24/7, felt like the muscles wanted to rip off my bone. I was in physical therapy 2 to 3 times a week. It's why I ended up moving from Denver to Vail, is because I wanted to try to figure out how to get back on the mountain again and fix my leg. And so it was teams of doctors, physical therapy, dry needling, chiropractic. I mean, and I remember, like, I'd walk into physical therapy and people would ask me, how are you so positive? Because it really was excruciating pain 24/7. And I call it like fake it till you make it. I remember, like, one day I walked in and I said, okay, everyone, I've got a new hobby. This was probably like it was probably after like 3/4 of a year of this. And they're like, oh, what's your new hobby? I'm like, well, I'm going to spend all my money on it and all my time on it. My new hobby is my leg. Don't you love my new hobby? And I just, like, for me, mentally had to figure out how to keep going and dealing with the pain and keep taking a step forward to find a recovery and not giving up. And that's where so much of the grit and this resilience, you know, came from also. And we did, we figured out finally, it was my physical therapist is like, I think you're allergic to the titanium, which there's no tests for right now. And you know, my doctor was like, okay, my orthopedic was like, okay, interesting. Let's start ruling things out. And then after a year and a half, again, I could not walk upstairs without a cane and using the railing. They took the rod out after a year and a half. Within 1 month, I could walk upstairs unassisted. And within 6 months, I went back to Everest Base Camp and did that hike. And that is, and then I, you know, I kind of volunteered also to talk with this group, or I did a PT at a place called Howard Head. And I saw professional athletes come through, and the devastation for them, the losing a career, the mental health of chronic pain, what people go through. You know, I knew a couple people I had done PT next to that took their own lives because they were so depressed or in so much pain or the loss of their career. And that really shook me too, because of everything I went through, I was so grateful that I had, you know, this positivity and my mental health. I became so grateful for that. So I wasn't down about the injury anymore or what I had gone through and what I had to go through to get it back. I just felt grateful for what I did have. And that was mainly like my mental health. And so that's just another example of how you can be going through something horrendous, but you've got to look around at what everyone else is going through and be grateful for what you do have.
You know, I think what you're talking about is part of someone's personality. If they come across or something happens to them, that could be devastating. Some people, that will reinforce their personal negativity. And some people will say, oh, my God, this is happening to me. But, man, I'm going to fight this and I'm going to be better than before. Would you agree?
I think that's a really good point. And so, yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think that probably because I started a struggle so early in life, I also was kind of raised having to overcome it. And I mean, I think as a kid too, I used to get down, and I mean, even through my teens to college, my early 20s, I really got down on myself and was negative and, oh, why me, about dyslexia as well. And I had to turn it around. But yeah, you're right. I think probably I do have an innate, more like positive personality. But I really do think that anyone can learn this and change their mindset and make it a habit, positivity a habit. And that is kind of like once you get the tools on how to do that. And again, if you're willing to put in the work and start with that, what you're grateful for, and have it in your mindset, I think that you can, anyone can turn that part of their personality more into a learned behavior of being positive and being grateful.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you go out, when you go out and make speeches and talk about grit, you have an organization where people sign on to your website and they network, or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, see, I'm very grassroots, because, of course, during the day, I do have a normal job of rocket science, and I'm on fighter jets right now. So, you know, I wish so much I had time to really dedicate it to full time, and that's the eventual dream there. But so my website, I built it myself, so it's a little basic right now, but I've got someone building it out, and I want to build that out. You can sign up and start following my treks and that kind of thing. But right now what I'm doing is mainly like on Instagram, just trying to, you know, share my journeys and also have like a motivational, I guess, message going with that as well. And so I do hope to build that out and start really giving people the resources, like I said, of how to apply gratitude and growth and resilience to your everyday life. And so this is something that is in work right now to build out. But I definitely hope by the end or by the middle of this year after Everest, I'll have everything up and running. And yeah, give people a sounding board, a support group, sort of to say, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. And that is a big part of it too, is I think one thing that I learned growing up, especially with dyslexia, I was embarrassed of it for so much of my life, and it was really hard for me to ask for help, because asking for help meant that I had to tell them that I was dyslexic, and so I would hide it. And it's as I got older and I really, you know, kind of went through my leg break and really embodied and gone through so much as a woman in engineering, I realized it is so much easier and better in this life if I have some people to go through it with and ask for help and get accommodations, and so that I can be the best person I can be with dyslexia. And it really opened, you know, my world up, and I found the gratitude in my learning disability and being grateful that there's now accommodations in the workplace and having people I could talk to about it and being proud of who it's made me.
You know, when I think of you doing Everest, you're conquering two things. You're overcoming physical barriers. I would assume that would be correct, physical barriers. But at the same time, you're looking at climbing the highest mountain in the world. That's remarkable. So you're working on yourself mentally and physically, and then you're going to challenge yourself to be on top of the world. I think that's magnificent.
Oh, thanks. And it's so funny when you say that, because it sounds crazy when you say you're going to go hike the highest mountain and the highest point on the earth. And I giggle a little bit because I don't think of it like that. I think of it as it's one step at a time. And I mean, that's really how I've gotten. I think when you've done so much climbing and mountaineering, you compartmentalize it to, okay, it's to this base camp, then it's to camp two, then it's back down, then it's to camp. It's one step at a time. And that is the analogy to life. Because if you look at a challenge as the top of Mount Everest and not just one step at a time, it is overwhelming and it sounds crazy. And so it like, and that's really like the, what's applicable to so many people is whatever your challenge is. And it might be, I want to go back and get a degree. I want to be able to afford to get my kid, you know, the education they want, like whatever your small goal is, a small physical goal. I want to run a 5K. You have to break it down to a step at a time. And then it's more attainable. You know, it does sound crazy to say I'm going to go to the top of Everest.
Right. When did you when did you decide to do all seven summits? How long ago?
So it was after my leg break, and I had gone back to, I'd hiked back to Everest Base Camp. And I took some of my dad's ashes with me because he always wanted, we had hiked Kilimanjaro the first time together. And that was one thing. I had done base camp, and I remember my dad was like, I want to go do that with you. And so the second time I went, he had passed away, and I took some of his ashes. It was so important to me. And then that's when I realized how I was mentally stronger. So I was like, I'm going to go do Kilimanjaro again, which I had done with my father. So I did. And then at that point, that when I realized I was so much stronger mentally, then I wanted to go and try something above 20,000 feet. And so I decided to do Aconcagua in South America, which is the highest point in South America. And I trained, I did that. And it was when I was down in Mendoza after the summit, I met a really cool girl who was 29 years old. And that was her seventh summit. And I was like, when did you do Everest? She did it when she was 19. And I think she was lineage to Sir George Mallory. I think it was his family. But anyway, it was a sponsored trip. Her family had done Everest together. And so she asked me, she's like, you know, how was Aconcagua for you? And I said, well, you know, it was a great hike, but it was, I guess, easy. I don't want to sound like an a-hole, but it wasn't bad. And she's like, girl, you could do the seven summits. And it was over wine. But with her, I was like, huh, okay. So I really started training and getting more technical. And then I decided to do Denali. I actually went and did Elbrus in Russia first. And because that was a little more like rope, practicing with rope teams. But it was nothing like Denali. And then I decided for Denali. Mm-hmm. But it was in Argentina, I decided I'm going to do the seven summits. And then honestly, that plane ride back from South America is really when I kind of started thinking about grit and what it meant to me.
Great. Our time is almost up, Megan. So if somebody wants to look at your website or your Facebook page or Instagram, give us your contact information.
Yeah, so you can go to GRIT, and it's just with an extra G. So it's GGRIT.com. And there is actually links to my socials there too, but my Instagram is GetGRIT, so GETGGRIT. There is an extra T at the end because I didn't get that changed yet. But so GetGRIT. And yeah, you can go there, and I will be updating my website soon with Everest coming, so we can you can follow me there as well. So it's exciting. It's really exciting. And you know what? Next week, what we could talk about is growth.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
So you have been listening to Megan Buchanan. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Megan, I really always love talking with you, and thank you, everybody.
I love talking
listening.
With you. All right. Thanks.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye.